Somebody say glory. Come on, somebody shout glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We need to worship and praise God like there is no tomorrow. If you knew Jesus Christ was coming tonight and there's absolutely no tomorrow, how many in the building need a deliverance tonight? How many is going to worship as if there's no tomorrow? Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm handicapped, but I'm in the house. I'm in the house. I'm in the house. Woo! Anybody excited to be in the house? I said, is there anybody excited to be in the house? Why don't we let the devil know just how excited we are to be in the house of Almighty God? Hear me tonight. Hallelujah. I just feel like some incredible things are about to happen in this place. Has anybody come with a spirit of anticipation, expecting God to do some great things tonight? I want you to get beside yourself. I want you to break out of your comfort zone. I want you to praise God like there is no tomorrow. This is the day. This is the day of my victory. This is the day of my deliverance. This is the day that I'm about to be set free. There is no next year. This is the day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 6 to 11. Turn to your neighbor and say, get ready. Come on, nudge your neighbor and say, get ready. Turn to your neighbor and say, give me some room. Because I'm telling you, by the time God's finished with some of you tonight, you're going to need lots of room. I feel like some of you are going to punch the devil out. Some of you are going to do some great things in the spirit world tonight. Touch your neighbor and say, give me room. I need room to praise God. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. You hear me? It does not matter to me how sedative you've come to this service tonight. You might say, preacher, I'm not the kind of person that gets very emotional. Touch your neighbor and say, there is no tomorrow. You're going to have to get with it tonight. Your deliverance is tonight. You're going to be delivered tonight. You're going to be set free tonight. There is no tomorrow. Luke chapter 6, verses 6 to 11. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. Everybody say handicapped. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up, stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, as the word is being preached, can you rise up? How will you respond as the word is being preached. Because according to how you respond is how you're going to affect the devil. And how many tonight has come to affect the devil? Verse 8, then said Jesus unto them, I will ask of you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hands. And he did so. And his hand was restored whole as the other. Woo! Touch your neighbor and say, get ready. Somebody with a withered hand tonight is about to be made whole. Somebody that has an addiction is about to be made whole. Touch your neighbor one more time and say, get ready. God Almighty, I just feel like we're about to explode in this place tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost saying somebody is about to be made whole tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know who in this building is about to make the headlines. I don't know who in this building is about to make the front page. But hear me, somebody is going to make news tonight because you're about to be delivered. Not only are you getting ready to be delivered and to make news, but you are about to affect hell in a very radical way. You are about to affect the devil in a very radical way. How many would like to affect the devil tonight in a very radical way? You say, preacher, how am I going to affect the devil? When Jesus told the man, stretch forth thy hands, and he did so, and it was restored whole as the other. Look at verse 11. And they were filled with madness. Touch your neighbor and say, filled with madness. Touch your neighbor one more time and say, filled with madness. They were filled with madness. And commune one with another what they might do to Jesus. I'm not just excited that you're in the house and that you've got a situation that you need God to deliver you from. But somebody is going to ask God to bless them until it drives the devil mad. He was filled with madness. I don't just want to have a blessing. Somebody say, Lord, Lord, bless me till it drives the devil mad. I want a blessing tonight that's going to drive the devil clear out of his mind. Somebody shout glory. Woo. I want you to take your neighbor by the hand right now. Brother Mullings, I want you to come and pray God's blessing upon this service. Because I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Somebody is going to get such an incredible deliverance tonight that it's going to drive the devil out of its mind. Every habit, every spirit, Every situation that seemed to have you depressed, tormented, bound, and humiliated, God is about to address it tonight. I want you to hold your neighbor's hands tight, and I want you to pray as Brother Mullings pray. Lift your voice.
God, in the name of Jesus Christ, right now I pray your anointing would fall into this house, God, that you would break down barriers, that you would loosen shackles tonight. God, that you would bring deliverance to those that have been held captive. God, I pray your anointing on your messenger tonight. Give him liberty in the Holy Ghost. God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that tonight that young people would be set free from addiction, from immoral impurity. God, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray right now, Master, God, that you would give us minds and hearts that are open to your word. God, to receive what you would have of us tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, everybody say in Jesus' name. Say it in Jesus' name. Now clap your hands and let's magnify him tonight, for he is worthy. Come on, let's praise him.
Somebody shout glory. You may be seated. I might as well tell you tonight from the very onset of this message that the moment you and I walked into the house of God, turn to your neighbor and say, the devil is also present. Every time you and I walk into God's house and we begin to anticipate a blessing, the intimidator, the troublemaker, the one that's been troubling our families also shows up. But can I tell you, I don't care if the devil is in the house tonight. God is also in the house. And if God is in the house, the devil cannot stop my blessing that's about to come forth. Somebody shout glory. Hear me. Somebody needs to drive him out of his mind. You drive him out of his mind with your worship, with your praise. The more you lift him up, it's the more mad the devil becomes. Hear me tonight. Do not allow the spirit of failure, the spirit of the master intimidator, to let you sit in your seat and remind you of what you have done, what has happened to you. You tell the devil, I'm in the house, I'm in the house, I am in the house, and I am about to be delivered tonight. Somebody shout glory. Hear me. Here, may be seated. Hear me. Every time you and I come into the house of God, we come in with scars. Everybody say scars. We walk in with disappointments, pain, and affliction. But hear me. If God could not do anything for you in this house, the devil would not show up. But the devil knows, once you're in the house, you might be handicapped, but once you're in the house, something is about to happen. So hear me. Don't let the devil keep you in your seat. If you feel like running, run around the building. If you feel like shouting, shout, because God is about to deliver you. Can I get some shouting music, Sister Jones? Hear me. I'm telling you, God's about to do something for somebody in this building tonight. I'm handicapped, but I'm in the house. I'm handicapped, but I'm about to be delivered. I want you to praise him as if God is about to do something for you. Come on, praise him. Come on, praise him. Handicap, but I'm in the house. Handicap, but God is about to do something for me. You may be seated. Somebody shout glory. You see, too many times we show up for church and we've got situations in our lives that have us bound. But hear me, there is a God in this place that wants to deliver you so bad, but you've got to be willing to go beyond your handicap situation. You got to praise him even when you don't feel it. You got to worship even when you don't feel it, because something is about to happen. If nothing was going to happen, then why has the devil shown up? He does not show up in places where God is not getting ready to work. He does not show up in places where he doesn't know God is about to erase all the mistakes. He only shows up in places where the odds are about to change. Somebody is about to be changed. You may be seated. Hear me. Hear me.
Hang on.
Hear me. Listen to me carefully. Because I feel something very strongly in my spirit tonight. That many of us are intimidated by the presence of the devil. Everybody say the devil. You see, the scripture text that I read and I preached from last night talked about the man with the withered hand. Everybody say the withered hand. Simply meaning he had a dysfunctional situation in his life. He was disabled. He was crippled to some extent. But regardless of his dysfunctional state, his crippled condition, he found himself in the house. Everybody say in the house. Hear me. When you read the first six verses of Luke chapter 6, it introduced to us that on the first Sabbath day, Jesus led his disciples through the cornfield. Everybody say the cornfield. And the Bible specifically tells us that they were hungry. And they began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat it. And as they ate the corn, the scribes and the Pharisees began to mock them and ask Jesus the question, "Don't you see what your disciples are doing?" And Jesus said, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? How he entered into the house and ate the shewbread?" Hear me tonight. There are two types of blessings that are bestowed upon God's people. There is the blessing of the field, and there is the blessing in the house. And the blessing in the field cannot be even equal to the blessing that takes place in the house. Because in the field, you only get that which satisfies the outer man. And there are too many campers that are going from camp meeting to camp meeting. And all they're settling for is the cornfield blessing. They just want a good choir, a good shout, a good dance. But they walk in with their habits. They walk in with their addiction. And if you are not careful, you will leave from this camp with just a shout. But you hear this preacher from Brooklyn, New York. You don't need just a shout. You need deliverance from your habits. Because you hear me. If you notice from verse 1 to verse 6, nowhere is it even mentioned that anyone was filled with any degree of madness or anger. Because having a shout don't get the devil upset. Now some of you haven't even shouted yet. So you're not even on your way to affecting this fella called the devil. But there's some of you, after you finish shouting, you're going to get into the house and say, you know what? I don't just want to shout when I'm still bound by immorality, still bound by a spirit of lying. I want to be delivered. Hear me. Hear me. It's not just enough to come to camp and get your fair share of a shout. And I'm telling you, I'd like to preach you till you go crazy. But that's not what I'm here for. I'd like for you to be delivered until the devil gets crazy. Crazy because he thought I would never be delivered of my addiction. Sit down. See, you have to understand, my little shout doesn't affect hell. Because there are lots of other camps across the state, around the country, that's having a similar shout. Having a similar dance, have just as talented of musicians and choir directors as we do. But I'm telling you, we don't need good choirs. We don't need just a shout. We need some young people that's going to open their hearts, expose their addiction, and walk out of here totally and absolutely delivered. Somebody raise your hand and say, Lord, I want to be delivered. I just don't want to shout. I want to be delivered. And if deliverance is going to take place, then we must first begin to be honest with our God. Touch your neighbor and say, be honest. Jesus turned to the man with the withered hand. And the first thing he said to that man is to rise up. Can I tell you that as you begin to respond to the word, that's when the devil is also going to rise up. If you want to know if the devil is in this building, I dare you to respond. I dare you to respond. I dare you to respond. The more you respond, it's the more the devil rise up. Hear me. Hear me. When Jesus told the man with the withered hand, rise up, he was telling him, regardless of your failure, when you are in my presence, you have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. You see, minus God's presence, we all feel ashamed of our failures. But when Jesus shows up, I have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. Hear me. Can I tell you when the devil began to become upset? Is when the man responded. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, your response to the word drives the devil mad. If you just sit there, say it's the messages for somebody else, don't worship, don't expose your failure, don't expose your weakness, you don't affect the devil. But the minute you get out of your comfort zone, begin to clap your hand, begin to say, Jesus, 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 that's when the devil rises up and begins to get upset. Hear me. Hear me. If that was not enough, Jesus now told the man with the withered hand, stretch forth thy hand. In other words, he was saying, expose it. Touch your neighbor and say, expose it. Touch your neighbor and say, take it out of the closet. If you are bound by a spirit of alcoholism, having a desire for one more drink, got the Holy Ghost, but haven't kicked the habit of alcoholism yet, instead of shouting in the choir, instead of dancing in the pew, instead of just running around the church, open your heart and expose your habit and say, Jesus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I need deliverance. You see, the blessing that drives the devil mad is when you and I begin to expose who we are in the temple. It's hard to expose who I am in the temple. I'd rather go home, preacher, and deal with it in my own way, with nobody looking. But if God is going to deliver you from the habit, you're going to have to expose it in a place where he can fix it. And he fixes habits. He delivers people in the temple. Somebody shout glory. Hear me. Hear me. He could have healed that man with the withered hand anywhere. But he chose to heal him in the temple. And one of the other reasons why he chose to heal him
in the temple was because too many hypocrites were in the temple. And they were saying, there's nothing that Jesus can do for you. You might be here, but he won't address your situation. But somebody needs to tell the devil, if I'm in the house and if I dare to expose it, God can heal it.
Hear me. A habit of alcoholism seem to be attributed just to sinners. You hear me? Some of you are being tested right now with that very spirit of alcoholism. Some of you, if you're not careful, not even your youth pastor know it. Your parents don't know it. Nobody knows the addiction. But if I'm going to drive the devil mad, if I'm going to let the devil go clear out of his mind, I not only must be willing to expose my addiction, but in the presence of those that are in the temple, I take that which has been hidden, that which has been a secret in my life, and in the face of the devil, I take my addiction and I throw it clear away, and I bow my knees before God, and I begin to say, Lord, deliver me of my addiction. And as I'm praying through, and I get rid of the can, the devil becomes crazy. He does not know what to do with himself, because I am free. I am set free from my addiction. Is there somebody in this house that would like to run around this place? Raise your hands and drive the devil clear out of his mind. Hear me. I'm bringing this thing to a close. Hear me. Hear me. We find pornography so readily available in the United States today. It's on the internet. It's all on the billboards. Every turn you turn, every corner you go around, there is nakedness before us. There's ungodliness before us. There is immorality before us. And if we are not careful, the devil will allow us to take one look. That was one look too many. It was one look we should have never looked at. And all of a sudden, we become bound by the spirit of pornography. And you hear me. You hear me? You hear me? He shot all of Mahasata Mahaya. You hear me, young men? It's not enough to just come to camp, get your little shout, and go back to your magazine. It's not enough to get your little dance, get some girl's phone number, and go back to your addiction. Somewhere in this camp meeting, you're going to have to look at that book, and you're going to have to make up in your mind, it's from the pit of hell, and throw it away, and tell the devil, I don't want to be bound by that spirit anymore. Away with your ungodliness, devil. Away with your addiction. You hear me? I wish I could come down in this crowd. I need to lay hands on some of you. But you hear me? No use you standing there saying, Brother Mitchell, that's not my problem. You know exactly where that spirit is coming from. You don't just desire the opposite sex for desiring's sake. A glance or a stare at something conceived
a desire in your spirit. The desire for fornication didn't just come because you saw a pretty girl. The desire came because the devil took that which was beautiful and exposed it ungodly. Portrayed it in a very lustful way. And when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth death.
You find yourself wanting to commit fornication. Trace its roots back to that book. See, you're getting quiet on me now. You're saying, Brother Mitchell, talk about the cornfield blessing. Talk about shouting and dancing. Honey, we need to get beyond the dance. We need to get beyond the shout. We need to drive the devil clear out of his mind. When I begin to repent, when I begin to turn from that ungodly habit, when I begin to focus my attention on Jesus Christ, it's the more upset that devil becomes. Touch your neighbor and say, drive him mad tonight. Hear me. We talk about cigarettes, and no matter how much the Surgeon General has said that it causes cancer, we talk about pot, marijuana, speed, and all of the habitual habits of smoking. We talk about the pressure that comes from schoolmates, friends, and even family members that say you're not cool, you're not living life, you're not with the program. If you're not smoking, if you're not drinking, if you're not puffing, it's a lie from the pit of hell. And some of you are struggling with that very habit, and the devil is telling you, just one more drag, just one more drag. But somebody needs to take the cigarettes, needs to take that habit and throw it away and say, devil, I don't want it anymore. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. What drives the devil mad is when a young man and a young woman can walk into an apostolic service like this, and in the midst of his peers, expose the habits that's restricting his Christianity, and look in the face of the devil and say, you had me bound with this thing. You had me playing church for years. I was at camp last year and I didn't kick the habit. All I got was a little shout, but the shout only lasted for 1 week. After the week was up, I went right back to the store. I went right back to my source. I was as bound as ever. I knew what to do, how to do it, when to hide it, when to smoke it. But devil, now I don't want it anymore. I don't want it anymore. I want Jesus. I want Jesus. Let me tell you, right about now, I don't know where that devil is, but I'm sure he's pretty mad. I said he's pretty mad, because there's some people in this building that's driving him clear out of his mind. But you know what blessing really and truly gets the devil where he really lives? Is when a sweet Pentecostal young girl, head of the youth group, an example to everyone in the church. Nobody knows what she's been going through.
Nobody knows when the spirit of immorality was exposed to her life. Nobody knows exactly when she fell into sin. She's about 3 weeks pregnant. She goes to the doctor. Dr. Mullins says, "You know what, young lady? We don't need parental consent anymore to give an abortion. You, all you have to do, it's so easy now. In 5 minutes, your disappointment could be gone. You pastor will never have to know. Your parents don't have to know about it. Really, the only ones that's going to know is me and you. And I'm sworn to secrecy, not to divulge your failure and what you have gone through or what you have done." And the devil is present in the room with the doctor. And he's saying, "Listen to him. If you do this, you can keep your position. Nobody will ever have to know. You won't have to hang your head in shame. Your pastor will never have to say anything. You can continue to be everything you want to be. All it takes is just 5 minutes. All it takes is just 5 minutes. And your failure would be a race. And hell reasons with her and tells her, "Go ahead. There's no problem. It only takes 5 minutes. And that's all. That's all it takes." She goes back home. And she begins to think about the doctor's proposal. I'm preaching to somebody. I'm preaching to somebody that's been here already. Oh, you hear this preacher? Several of you have been here already. Did you hear me? I said several of you have been here already. And if you don't mind sharp, some of you are here right now. And hell is telling you, you don't have to expose it. I have a way of fixing it. They call it murder. But really, it's not. Nobody will ever have to know that you had an abortion. But then she leaves her house and she goes to church. And somewhere between the choir song and the preaching, she bows her knees. And she begins to weep before God and said, "Lord, forgive me of my failure. Forgive me of what I've done. And Lord, forgive me of even trying to entertain the doctor that's about to let me go into gross darkness." And in the midst of her weeping, her pastor kneels next to her and senses that there's something desperately wrong. The devil, come here, approaches her on the other side. Kneel. And she's now torn between two decisions. Her pastor gently lays his hands on her head and said, "Whatever the problem is, God can forgive. He can show mercy. He can forgive your soul. You can still be a child of God if you truly repent. Don't let one act cause you to make another mistake. Hear me, some of you young people. Don't let one mistake cause you to make another one." She finally turns to her pastor after not listening to the devil. She takes her pastor by the hand and she whispers in his ears, "Pastor, I've made a mistake. I'm so sorry that I've disappointed you. Would you pray that God would forgive me?" Her pastor with compassion begins to pray for her. Just about that time, hell realized, "I've lost another one." Just about that time, hell begins to go crazy because another young person decided, "I'm not making the wrong decision." Hear me. It's time to drive the devil clear out of his mind with a decision to be made whole. Remain standing. What drove the devil mad? Listen to me. He caught a shot. What drove the devil mad, young man? It's because the man, listen to me, the man with the withered hand, not only was present in the house, but when the word came forth, "Expose it. Show me where you've made a mistake." He stretched forth his hand and said, "Here's my handicap situation." And when God was through with him, verse 10 said, his handicap hand was as whole as that other hand. When God gets through with some of you tonight, nobody will be able to tell what your handicap situation was about. Somebody shout glory. Because the thing I like about this, Brother Major, is that when God was finished, the left hand looked just like the right hand, that nobody could tell what had happened to him. When God healed him, all they know is he was made whole. And when the devil saw that the man's hand was restored as the other hand, the Bible said he was filled with madness. Hear me. You know what's going to make the devil mad? Listen to me. You know what's going to drive the devil out of his mind here tonight? It's when all across this building, handicap situations begin to be restored. Healing, deliverance, restoration from habits and addiction begin to take place. Some of you in your mind, I'm going to make a commitment that when I go back home, I might not have him here, but when I get home, wherever they are, whatever corner of the house I've got them hidden, in my locker room at school, I'm going to find them out. And as God has my witness, I'm making a pledge to you tonight, Holy Ghost, I'm getting rid of those habits. What's going to drive the devil mad in the lives of some of you young ladies? You're never going to have to get to this point. Every boy, saved or unsaved, that tries to touch this body again, I'm going to rise up with righteous indignation. And I'm going to let that boy know this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Can I get some young lady in here to shout hallelujah? I am never going to let my body be used, taken advantage of anymore. I wish you young ladies would scream. I said scream. Let the devil know that you believe that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
What's going to drive the devil mad is everywhere I used to go to get that beer, to get that one drink, to get that fix, to get that drag. I'm about to tell whoever my supplier was, you're going out of business. Because I'm not going to facilitate you anymore. I've already been to the water. I've been baptized. I've been to the temple. I exposed my sin. And Jesus Christ has delivered me. Come on, somebody shout, go away. Come on, praise Him. Listen to me. There's somebody in this service that's not at this altar yet. You are the one that God has targeted to drive the devil out of his mind. You already made your appointment. You know exactly when it's about to take place. Hear me. Somebody needs the Holy Ghost. I want several areas in this place tonight. Listen to me carefully. Hang tight. We're going to sing it again. But if you need the Holy Ghost, I want you on this side. If anybody needs the Holy Ghost, I want you right here. Anybody across the building that you don't need the Holy Ghost, bring them quickly. Then hear me. Anybody in this building that God has personally talked to tonight, that needs a deliverance, you come to this altar. Come up here as quickly as possible. If we need to move back some chairs, we'll be all right. This altar is not restricted to chairs. These people need the Holy Ghost. I'd like some pastors and leaders around them. All of you people over here need deliverance, raise your hand. From whatever habit, from whatever situation, if you're bound by a situation. Bless me. Bless me, Jesus. Till it drives the devil man. Now I want you to lift your voice, everybody. And begin to call out on Jesus. Don't stop. Lift your voice. Call out on Jesus. All across the building. All across the building.
Sing it. Worship everybody.